Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
If you would turn in your app, if you have the Cornerstone app downloaded, you can follow along. That's where the sermon notes will be for today. I want to share a message about being on guard. Last week, I almost didn't speak the message, Jesus in your normal, because on Saturday, I felt like the Lord deposited these three phrases into my heart, and I was tempted to share them last week. I stayed with last week's message about Jesus in our normal, but I feel like as we're entering these next 3 weeks of prayer and fasting, this message is really setting the tone for these next 3 weeks of what God wants to do in and through our lives. There's three things. It was this phrase that I felt like the Lord just said to me last Saturday. It was this: guard your heart, guard your mind, guard your mouth. Guard your heart, guard your mind, guard your mouth. And as we move into this season of prayer, I think God wants to touch our hearts, He wants to touch our minds, and He wants to touch our mouths. When you hear the phrase, guard your heart, perhaps you, like me, will lean towards one of the scriptures that's most commonly known about guarding our hearts. It's Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. New Living Translation will say, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart. Philippians, and we walked through Philippians this past fall. One of the scriptures in Philippians, it talks about the peace of God will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Guard your heart. Protect it. Watch over it. Check in. Have a regular heart checkup. How is your heart? Because our hearts can grow. And when I say our hearts can grow, I'm not referring to like the Grinch whose heart grew three sizes that day. Our hearts can grow. Our hearts can grow hard. And that is deadly to our spiritual life. Way back in Exodus, Scripture tells us that Pharaoh's heart grew hard. There was a process. Pharaoh's heart grew hard. He didn't heed them as the Lord had said. We can look back and think, well, that was Pharaoh. And that's Old Testament. That was taking place. God had a hand in all of that. Pharaoh's heart growing harder. But Pharaoh was made out of the same dirt as we are. A little later, God would say to Ezekiel, as God's calling Ezekiel as a prophet, not to Pharaoh, but to his people, to God's people. And God will say this in Ezekiel 3, verse 7, but the house of Israel, this is his call as a prophet, but they're not going to listen to you. He says this, but the house of Israel will not listen to you because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. And hard-hearted. Impudent. It literally means strong of forehead. That doesn't do a thing. I could do that all day. It's strong of for impudent and hard-hearted. That really hurt. We think, okay, well, that's Old Testament. When Jesus was explaining to his disciples why he spoke in parables, he said this in Matthew 13:15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Dull, thick, calloused. That's what that word means. It has to do with their hearts have grown dull, their hearts have grown thick, calloused. When Jesus was questioned about the issue of divorce, and for those who have experienced divorce, you know the pain and the sorrow and the tearing. He said this, Jesus speaking, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but it was not beginning. In the beginning, it wasn't so. He's talking about those who have just shut off their hearts. And if you've experienced that, may God just give you great grace and his touch on your life. If someone has hardened their heart against you. But he said it was not so. That was never the intention. Jesus will use this word, sclerocardia. Sclerocardia, he uses it three times. You know what it means? Hardness of heart. It's a condition. It's a condition that we have or can have. When Mary Magdalene told the disciples, I've seen the Lord, they didn't believe her. When the two disciples who had met Jesus on the road to Emmaus, he came in, began to have a meal with them. It was revealed to him, this is Jesus. They ran and told the disciples. The disciples did not believe them. And Jesus, when he appears to the 11 in Mark chapter 16, verse 14, says this. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. Sometimes we think of hardness of heart, of that it stops us from feeling. And although that's true, that's not where it stops. It also stops us from hearing. Not listening to God like Pharaoh. Not listening to his word like the people that Ezekiel was speaking to. Not listening even to his people, Mary Magdalene, the two from the road to Emmaus. His disciples didn't believe the resurrection. The best news they're going to hear. They didn't believe it because not only of their unbelief, but because of the hardness of their heart. Hardness of heart doesn't just instantly happen. It grows. It grows over time. It grew over time for Pharaoh. It grew over time for God's people, and it grows over time for me. My left hand, the fingertips, are calloused. Not nasty, but there are calluses on the tips of my fingers from playing guitar. And if I leave the guitar for a long time and come back, I discover that I have more feeling and more pain. But as I play more and more, calluses build up, and I can't feel it anymore. For those of you who have worked construction, and calluses on your hands, working with your hands, prevents the pain that once you could feel. And so while calluses on your fingers may be good things, calluses on our hearts are not. We don't feel. We don't hear. But there is marvelous hope, and it's found in Ezekiel, that same book where God said, they're not going to listen to you because they're not listening to me. He says this in Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that tremendous hope? God's going to do something. He sees the problem, and he's going to reach in. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone. How hard has their heart become? Like a stone. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Guard your heart. Secondly, guard your mind. The truth is so powerful, but lies are so powerful. Jesus, when he was speaking about, if you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then he went on to say, therefore, if the Son has set you free, you're free indeed. It's in this conversation with the Pharisees, some religious leaders, those who were listening, that he talks about the devil being the father of lies. This is where lies originate. And not only, we talk about how powerful the truth is, lies are powerful because they grip us and they shape us. John 8, verse 44, Jesus said this, for you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. Speaking of the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Pilate had it right when he said, what is truth? That really is the question. We can't get that wrong. What is truth? A lie got us into this whole mess. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. You won't die. One of the problems that we face today is in so many ways when you believe a lie to be true. You believe the lie is the truth. Jesus will say this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And then he says this phrase, and if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is the darkness, or how great is that darkness? Its depth, its reach, its scope, because you believe it to be true, but it's not. And just like our hearts can grow harder, our minds can grow darker when we believe a lie. A lie is like a seed that when it's watered with doubt, it grows and it chokes out the light. Has God really said? And somehow the truth gets lulled to sleep in Delilah's lap. We need to know the truth even if it hurts. We don't say that in a harsh way. The truth hurts, doesn't it? We need to know the truth even if the truth hurts, but the truth never is intended to harm. It can hurt, but the intent, the end result, is not to hurt or to harm. I would think the natural direction of this sermon would be to say, so we need to know God's word. We need to know the truth. God's word is truth, and we end up in that place. And although that's accurate and that's true, I don't think the answer is only acknowledging that God's word is true. There are a lot of people who believe God's word to be true, but have also believed a lie. I think one of the greatest battles we can ever face is a battle in our mind, thinking that because we acknowledge that the Bible is true, and saying that it's our authority, and that we know the Bible verses, it can lull us into a false sense of security because we know the truth. Knowing the truth is not an ending, it's a beginning. Guard your mind against knowing the truth without living the truth. Guard your mind against knowing the truth without living the truth. Our minds love to be proud. All of the makeup of the human person, our minds love to be proud. Proud of all the things we know, and that's one of the darkest places we can be. James says this, don't just listen. James chapter 1, verse 22. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forget what you look like. But if you carefully look into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Knowing the truth will only get you so far. Jesus would say in that passage about the truth will set you free, and you know the truth and it'll set you free. He, the Son sets free is free indeed. In that he will say to those, I recognize that Abraham is your father, that you're leaning into your heritage. But he refers to them as having the devil as their father. And he says this, because my word has no place in you. They're able to quote the scriptures. They know the scriptures. And he says this, my word has no place in you. They knew the scriptures. The devil can quote the scripture. He did that to Jesus. Jesus will say, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify of me. The answer isn't just knowing that the Bible is true. We have to guard against just knowing the Bible without living the Bible. Guard your mind from lies, from the pride of knowledge, and that somehow knowledge is the end. Knowing God's word is a starting point. Guard your mind by figuring out what you're to do with the knowledge that you have. Guard your mind by figuring out what to do with the knowledge that you have. Guard your heart. Don't let it grow hard. Guard your mind. Don't let it grow dark. And then lastly, guard your mouth. And I feel like as we're entering these next 3 weeks of just seeking the Lord, of taking time set aside when we'd normally be eating, however you're going to navigate that, whether that's a meal, whether that's types of food, whether that's whatever, however it unpacks for you, that time we're setting to seek the Lord, I'm praying for transformation that takes place in our hearts. God, soften our hearts. God, touch our minds. That we wouldn't just know more. We would hear from you. We would hear from your word, but see how to live it out. And God, guard my mouth. Connected to our hearts, connected to our minds, our mouths. We just can't think that words don't matter. God spoke the worlds into existence. Let there be, and there was. Jesus said it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. He went on to say, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Scripture will say, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man, evil person out of the evil treasure of their heart bring forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We can't just focus on our words, because where do the words come from? They come from our hearts. James will say, of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Matthew will tell us, Jesus speaking, Matthew 12:37 says, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. James will say in chapter 3, people stumble in all kinds of things. If anyone doesn't stumble in word, he's a perfect person, able to bridle the whole body. Our words can be instruments of healing, or our words can be instruments of hurting. We can bring so much help with our words, and we can bring so much hurt with our words. We can use them to build up or to tear down. One thing for sure, words are powerful. Proverbs says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. It's just not God's word that can shape us. It's just not God's words that can shape us. And we say, yes, God, shape us with your word. We can shape others with our words, the things that we say. I remember when we were about to plant, we had youth pastored here for 5 years. We were about to plant a church in Airdrie in 1992. And some friends of ours were starting the church with us. And I remember being at their home, and we're excited about the kind of the opening Sunday. Was just ahead of us. We were at their home, and she said, oh, I told my mom that you were going to be the pastor. She said, oh, Barry Marston, he won't do good at that. And you don't have to feel bad for me. I'm over it. Well, here we are 30 years later. I'm still telling the story. It doesn't hurt. It did then. And it's those. Now, I never heard her mom say that. And I don't know the context that she said it or all of that, but that phrase shaped me in that moment. Bred such insecurity. We've got to be so careful with our words. We could go around this room. If I were to ask you right now, think of someone who has believed in you. How did they believe in you? They told you. You can think back and say, they spoke into my life. And we can think about people who have not believed in us, and they've spoken into our lives, and it shaped us. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Like the word of God, God's word is a two-edged sword. And I think we need to treat our words like a very sharp knife. Not to be afraid to use them, but to be very careful with them. You wouldn't handle a knife carelessly, so let's not be sloppy with our words. We don't have to be somber, but we do have to be careful, full of care with what we say. And I can't tell you how many times I say things that I wish I wouldn't have said. It comes out quite often because I think I'm funny, and I am funny. It's not just like, well, I'm self-aware that I'm quite humorous. But I say it thinking it's going to be funny, only to discover it was hurtful. And I want to take that back, and we'll apologize. And it's that sinking feeling, I did it again. But I'll tell you, words can cut through lies and cut away discouragement from someone's soul. We can use our words to encourage and to strengthen, to give hope, and to bring comfort and joy. One of the most powerful things that we're called to do as Christians is to preach, is to proclaim, is to declare, to use our mouths. We speak life. And so for me and for all of us, I would just say, instead of living with regret for what we said that caused harm. May we be in a place that God just so transforms us that we're able to live with rejoicing because of what we said that caused healing. May we not live with regret for the things that we said that caused harm. Instead, may there be such a transformation that we're able to live with rejoicing because of what we said that caused healing. And we need God's help, just like the psalmist said. Psalm 141, verse 3 says this, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." God, would you do that? I fail with my heart. There are areas that just get stony and calloused and uncaring. It can happen and grow quickly. Just, God, would you do that? Would you take the places of stone out of my heart and replace it with a heart of flesh? God, would you help me to think clearly, to know the truth, but not just know it, to live it and find ways that I can live the truth? And God, would you guard my mouth that I would not say things carelessly without regard, because words are powerful, power of death and life. And Scripture says in that order, the power of death and life. It seems like death, it's so easy to say things that are hurtful and harmful. But God, would you transform me? Would you touch my lips? Just like the prophet who, "I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in a unclean people. I take the coal and touch my lips and declare them to be holy." God, would you do that? Would you touch my life, touch my heart, touch my mind, touch my mouth? May these next 3 weeks be a time when we draw close to the Lord and he does heart surgery. Anyway, he touches our mind and he places a guard over our lips that we might magnify Christ from the altar of my life. Would you go ahead and pray with me this morning? Jesus, we're so very, very grateful for your nearness. We're grateful that you draw close to us. And God, in these next 3 weeks, as we set this time aside for prayer and fasting, is drawing near to you. God, I pray that you would touch these three areas of our lives, that you would touch our hearts. God, wherever there is a hardness or a stoniness, wherever there has been a callousness that has built up, towards people or towards hearing from you, God, would you just cut away that callousness? Would you soften our hearts? Would you remove the stones? Let our hearts be soft, good ground, tender. God, for our minds, God, we want to know between the truth and the lie in a world that is just not only lying, but being lied to. God, we want to be people of the truth. God, help us to rightly divide, rightly understand your word, be people who know your word, that your word is hidden in our hearts and in our minds, that there'd be a transformation in our minds because we know your word. But God, may it just not stop there. May we know and understand how to apply your word, how to live out your word, how to be people who live the truth, not just know the truth. And God, we pray with our words you'd help us to speak life. God, to not be careless, but to be careful. To speak and build up, not to tear down. To bring wholeness and healing to people. Because we speak as an oracle of God. As we speak, as we hear what you say, and are able to say your word in encouraging and edifying and comforting ways to people, we pray in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.